Good morning, guys. Welcome into Tide Talk Live. Stacy Blackwood here for this live edition of the show here on Thursday morning. I had a few minutes before I have to get to work, so thought I'd get on here, chat real quick with you guys here live this morning before I have to head to the office. Want to touch on a few things this morning real quick. We're going to talk a little bit about Caden Proctor's comments that he made kind of regarding, you know, his decisions this spring to obviously he transferred from Alabama to Iowa, then making the decision to come back to Alabama. So we'll touch on that for a minute. We'll talk some recruiting news as well. And of course, we'll dive into whatever the chat is talking about this morning too. So if you are watching, please do like, share, and subscribe here to our YouTube channel. You know, hit that bell notification so you don't miss any of our content, including, you know, these live videos that we do from time to time here on our channel. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate that. Also part of the Believe Network. And we are brought to you by betonline.ag, and we'll talk to you about those guys here in just a minute. But like I mentioned, just want to talk a little bit of Alabama football news this morning before I head into the office, maybe before y'all guys head into the office as well. So just a little morning live show to kind of kickstart your day with some Alabama football talk. So hopefully you'll join me there in the live chat, and we can kind of discuss those things as we move forward this morning. Like I said, we'll talk a little bit about Caden Proctor, some recruiting news, and just whatever you guys want to talk about here in the live chat. We'll probably go for around, you know, 25, 30 minutes this morning. So look forward to hearing from you guys in the live chat. Hopefully you will be interactive this morning. I know it's early. I know it's barely daylight, but here we are before we head into the office. We can get our day started with some Alabama football talk here on YouTube this morning. All right. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of things, make sure you head on over to betonline.ag this morning. Look, the NBA finals are starting up tonight, I believe. NHL, whatever sports you enjoy watching or betting on, head on over to betonline.ag. They have all the latest odds and picks for you there. You can also go to their online casino, check out all the games they have there on their online casino. It is top tier, the best you can find on the internet. So make sure you head on over to betonline.ag. That is where the game starts. All right, this morning, look, I want to touch on Caden Proctor's comments that he made with his exclusive interview with 247 Sports about kind of his just wild and crazy offseason that he had here. You know, obviously, when Nick Saban retired, Caden Proctor decided that he was going to transfer back to his home state and join the Iowa Hawkeyes. And then, I don't know, what was it like? Just maybe a month later, it was being reported, maybe a couple months later, that he was going to enter the portal again before ever playing a down for the Iowa Hawkeyes and come back to the Crimson Tide. And I just thought it was kind of interesting the amount of growth that Proctor had in the last few months. He tells 247 Sports that the first thing he did when he got back to Alabama is he went and apologized to Coach DeBoer. He said that he just, you know, he went into his office and told him face to face that he was sorry for not, you know, kind of hearing Coach DeBoer out, and that he was ready to get back and do everything he could to help this team win. So I think what you're seeing is a more humble Caden Proctor. I think if you look at some of the pictures that have surfaced on the internet, I think you see a more slimmed down Caden Proctor, which the new offensive line coach, Coach Cap, is wanting those guys to slim down. Even Tyler Booker talked about yesterday how he's lost, 25, 30 pounds this offseason. He played around 355 last year, I think, and he's around 330 right now. So I think you're seeing a more humble and a more mature Caden Proctor. And I just thought it was really interesting what he had to say about, you know, the decision that he made to leave Alabama to go to Iowa. But then I think the biggest thing about this is the fact that as soon as he got back and as soon as he was kind of getting back into the good graces of the coaching staff, you know, he went and apologized to Coach DeBoer. I mean, that's big. That takes a humble person. You know, you gotta lose some pride when you do something like that. And the fact that he realized and understood that, you know, even his parents tried to tell him that, you know, hey, let's wait and see what this new coaching staff at Alabama is like before you just make this rash decision to leave what you have in Tuscaloosa, you know, go back to Iowa City and play for the Hawkeyes. So just an incredible story of how Proctor, look, I think sometimes we forget that these guys are still kids. And, you know, Proctor had to do some growing up, and it seems like he did that. and just really proud of the fact that he's kind of made his way back to Alabama, that he's working his way back into good graces with not only his coaching staff, but with his teammates as well, who I think were always supportive of him. I think he even mentioned that some of the guys, when he would talk with them, was like, hey, we're going to get you back in Tuscaloosa. We're going to get you back at Alabama. We need you back here. And so I just thought that was a really cool story that 247 Sports did on Caden Proctor. And the fact that he's, you know, back at Alabama is huge. Think about the depth this Alabama offensive line was lacking, especially at the tackle position. But now they get Caden Proctor back, the guy who started at left tackle for them last year. And now that I think you see a more humble and a more mature Caden Proctor, I think you're going to see a better version of a football player in Caden Proctor here in 2024 as well. So I would love to hear what you guys think about that there in the live chat. So jump in there, give us a roll tide. Let us know where you're watching us from this morning. Like I said, I know it's early. I know some of you guys are just now waking up. I'm an early riser. I get up at 4 o'clock every day, kind of just mess around the house for a little while before I have to head in the office. So just wanted to had a few minutes before I had to head in the office. So I wanted to talk to you guys this morning about some different things. So if you have anything on your mind this morning, let me know there in the live chat and we'll talk about that. And let me know your thoughts on Caden Proctor. Are you excited to have Caden Proctor back at Alabama? Do you think it's a good idea for Coach DeBoer and his staff to welcome him back, considering he left, you know, once he was hired or once Nick Saban announced that he was retiring? So I just thought that story from 247 was really, really cool. And you kind of get to see a different side of these kids when you have those one-on-one type interviews. And I thought he had a lot of interesting comments. You know, I'm going to read this one quote. He said, on leaving Alabama, he says, I definitely regret it. It was probably one of the worst decisions that I've made in my life, because looking back, I had so many people that cared for me here and were trying to tell me that it was the best place for me, and I really wasn't thinking it through. I let Coach DeBoer and the staff talk to me and trying to convince me to stay, but I wasn't really sitting there and listening to them. I was just so hell-bent on going back home. No one was going to change my mind. Even my parents told me, but they were like, okay, you're going to find out the hard way. How many times have our parents told us that growing up? You know, and he continued to say, that's exactly what happened. I gave them credit. I said, you're right. Nothing else I can do but say you're right, and I made a mistake. So good to see that Proctor's kind of, he kind of grew up a little bit. He had to kind of learn the hard way of, you know, I think it's important that when you're, you know, 18, 19 years old, that you still listen to your parents. I know he had moved out of his house. He was at Alabama, but it's always important to listen to your parents. They usually have your best interests at heart. And the fact that he did go and apologize to Coach DeBoer and the coaching staff for not hearing them out once he was hired in Tuscaloosa is a good sign of maturity. I'm glad that he's grown up, and it's good to have him back on the team, because, look, Alabama needed help at tackle. Caden Proctor has a bright future at tackle, and you know, he's freshman All-American last year for Alabama, so I think he's just going to be even better here in 2024. So I think you feel good about the offensive line with Caden Proctor back in the fold. You know, you have him at left tackle. You're going to have Tyler Booker at left guard, Parker Brailsford at center, Jaden Roberts at right guard, and then you look at right tackle. I'm leaning towards either Elijah Pritchett or Wilkin Formby to be the starter at right tackle, but I'd love to hear what you guys think here this morning in the live chat. Give me your thoughts on who you think that fifth offensive lineman will be. Will it be Wilkin Formby, Elijah Pritchett? Could it be somebody like Miles McVay? Would love to hear what you guys think about that as well, and any other thoughts you might have on Caden Proctor. Like I said, thank you for joining me this morning. I know it was kind of a late ad, but good to be here this morning. Ben says, some kids make knee-jerk reactions. Glad Proctor came back. Yeah, I think that's, you know, when you're young, and we were all young once, some of you may be young that's watching right now, but you tend to make haste decisions because we live in a society that's instant, you know, gratification. And you know, Proctor didn't like that Saban retired. He was probably a little homesick because, you know, he's a good ways away from home in Iowa. And so he thought, hey, Coach Saban's retired. It's a good time for me to get back home. And he realized once he got back home that Alabama was the best place for him. And so, like you said, Ben, it's good to have Proctor back because I do think he can be one of the premier tackles in college football. All right, I think now is a good time to kind of segue into some Alabama football recruiting talk this morning. Look, obviously the biggest news this week so far has been the fact that Keelon Russell, flipped from SMU to Alabama. I think this is a guy who's already a top, borderline top 50 prospect for the class of 2024. I think that when it's all said and done, after he participates in the Elite 11 events, after he has his senior year of high school, I think you're looking at a kid that has the potential to earn that fifth star and, maybe even be a top 30 overall prospect in the class of 2025, excuse me. So really excited to have Keelon Russell on board. Also, anytime you get your quarterback of the class, you kind of have that, he's the head of the class now. Everybody looks to him. All the recruits are looking to him. I think he's going to do a good job of helping this coaching staff recruit other high-end prospects in the class of 2025, maybe even beyond. So it's good to see that you got your quarterback on board, and now you can kind of lean on him a little bit to help you recruit. And there's a lot of other big names out there for Alabama. I think you look at what Ty Haywood, the five-star offensive tackle, is saying. I mean, it appears that Alabama is probably in the driver's seat for him. Another offensive tackle, Jackson Lloyd, I think the coaching staff feels really good about him. I mean, there's a lot of people in the recruiting circle who believe Alabama has the potential to land their best offensive line recruiting class, maybe even ever. So I know it's a long way to go until signing day, but that is what a lot of people are talking about in the recruiting circles in terms of what this coaching staff is doing on the recruiting trail in terms of the offensive line. So good news there as well. You got a win up front in the SEC. You're bringing in Texas. You're bringing in Oklahoma. It looks like, these Power Four conferences are going to be, consolidating even more, I believe, in the future. So you're going to be playing nothing but top tier talent week in and week out in college football moving forward. So you better shore up the offensive and defensive lines. And it looks like the coaching staff is doing a good job of that. Dawson Merritt, a guy who's a linebacker, probably play that wolf position for Alabama, is between Alabama and Nebraska. A lot of people are feeling like Alabama is going to be the pick for Dawson Merritt, a four-star linebacker. Really excited to get him if Alabama can get him on board. Dijon Lee, a five-star corner, a guy that's over 6'3", 195 pounds, a guy who has elite, elite talent. A guy who I think is going to be, probably a top 25 player in the class of 2025. So would be another big get for Alabama. You look at a couple of kids from Modern Day High School, the running back, Jordan Davison, the corner, George McDonald. I think Alabama's in good position for both of those guys, especially in terms of the running back, Jordan Davison, because Alabama was kind of in the mix there for Bo Jackson, the kid who just committed to Ohio State. He canceled his visit to Alabama, committed to Ohio State. So I think, Alabama and Ohio State generally battle for the same running backs year in and year out. And so I feel like that kind of puts Alabama back, kind of in the driver's seat for Jordan Davison, that really talented running back from Modern Day High School in California. There's just a lot of recruiting stuff going on. I think June is and July are going to be absolutely bananas on the recruiting trail. And I think you could see, maybe up to 10 more commitments over the next, I would say, 8 to 10 weeks I'll go 8 to 12 weeks from the class of 2025. Also, even moving past the class of 2025, Sed Morgan, the 4 or 5 star receiver for the class of 2026 from Benjamin Russell High School in Alabama, 6'4", 205, just an elite playmaker from the wide receiver position. A guy, you look at what Coach DeBoer and Coach Shepard like at wide receiver. They like those bigger kids. He fits that mold at 6'3", 6'4", 205, entering his junior season. So I think he has a chance to be a special player, and it looks like Alabama is in the driver's seat for him, and maybe even a potential commitment could be coming soon from him as well. So recruiting is just going crazy right now. Alabama had Charles House in, a defensive lineman. It seems like they're in good shape with him. Douglas Atu, an inside offensive lineman, really good shape with him. So there's just a lot of guys that Alabama is really zoning in on right now. And there's a potential, like I said, over the next 8 to 10 to 12 weeks, this coaching staff could see up to 10 more commitments for the class of 2025. And I think, look, I people talked about Coach DeBoer and would he be able to recruit. I'm leaning towards that this class is going to finish inside the top five in 2025, maybe even the top three. So I think he's going to put a lot of those false beliefs to bed with this signing class, because I think it's going to be very, very special. Ben jumps in, says these guys are building a strong recruiting class for 2025, but I'm more excited about future classes too. No doubt, Ben. Thank you for commenting, letting us know. Anybody else got anything to add on that? I would love to hear from you guys there in the live chat. I do think this coaching staff is building. And one thing I've noticed about the way this coaching staff recruits is that I think they're precise on who they go after. I think they do some, not that the previous coaching staff didn't do a lot of scouting, but I think these guys are firm believers and doing a deep dive into scouting. Not only, you know, how good is this player, but how does this player, you know, line up with what we're trying to build, both off either offensively or defensively. I think this coaching staff is very detail oriented in their process of scouting, and then who they, you know, end up offering when it comes to recruiting. Good morning, Bob. Roll Tide. Good to have you on this morning. Thank you for joining us. Absolutely agree. CKD is bringing the kids in. Yeah, he's doing a great job. I think, first of all, the people that were talking about him not being able to recruit, I don't know anybody that's a true, I would say, like, recruiting insider, and I'm talking nationwide, that thought that Coach DeBoer would be a failure in recruiting in Alabama. No, none of those guys thought that. It was other fan bases. And it's something that it's kind of a term that we've used a lot around here, especially during the Nick Saban era. It's been a lot of wishful thinking from rival fan bases about Coach DeBoer and his coaching staff's ability to recruit in Tuscaloosa. No doubt, Ben. I think the coaching staff is very hungry. They got the championship game last year, and the players were one play away from going to the national championship. Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point, JADog67. Thank you for that comment. That's a great little talking point here. I don't think enough people realize, or not even realize, but have really come even thought about the fact that not only was Alabama a play away for playing for the national championship last year, but Washington actually played, and Coach DeBoer and a lot of his coaching staff coached in the championship game last year. So, you know, they kind of have that. They ended last year with a bad taste in their mouth. And I think you're seeing a hunger from not only the coaches, but the players as well. And I think that's good news for Alabama fans. I think you have to be excited about the motivational factor heading into the 2024 season for this Alabama football team. And then you kind of add on the fact that there's a lot of people doubting them because Coach Saban retired. So I think the external motivation outside of what they build within themselves is going to be huge for them. And I think you're going to see a really focused Alabama football team this season. Thank you for that comment. That's great. Anybody else with some as a great comment, Jay Dog. Thank you for that. Thank you for watching us. Really nothing else to kind of turn to on the recruiting point, but anybody got anything else in the chat this morning? Be on here for about 5 more minutes or so before I have to finish getting ready to head into work. I'll ask the chat this morning. Who's a guy, who do you think will be the next commitment for the class of 2025? Love to hear from you guys in the live chat. I think it'll probably be Dawson Merritt, but I could be wrong because there's so many guys that's been visiting over the last couple weeks. I mean, I think they had 12 official visitors last weekend. They're going to have about that many again this next weekend. This coaching staff is just on an absolute grind right now on the recruiting trail. I don't know if they sleep. Also think the facts that the key leaders on the team stepped up and won to finish what they started. Not given on to NIL offers to leave. Love the leadership. Yeah, I think the leadership qualities of this team is fantastic. Whether you're talking about Tyler Booker, Jalen Milroe, Malachi Moore, Deontay Lawson, Jahad Campbell, there are a ton, of leaders on this football team that have really stepped up and kind of held this, kind of been conduit for this team in what's been a crazy offseason. I mean, anytime somebody like Nick Saban retires, it's going to send a shock to the kind of the, not only the fan base, but the players as well. And it's just been incredible job by these players to kind of come together and hold the team together. And it's really been a team effort and a team focused offseason for Alabama. And that's great to see. These guys are definitely putting in the work, and says, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Speaking of leadership, I'll tell you that one thing I've heard is that Jeremy Bernard, the receiver that transferred from Washington, that they say he has really stepped up and kind of been that vocal leader for the wide receiver room, which is huge because I think they have a chance to be special. I think people are sleeping on the Alabama receiver room. Yeah, I tell you, when you see the kids stepping up and being leaders in times like this, it does make you proud for sure. Speaking of wide receivers, Ryan Williams, now that he's on campus officially, what are your guys' expectations for him as a freshman? Because, you know, Alabama does have Jeremy Bernard, they have Kobe Prentice, they have Kendrick Law, Emmanuel Henderson, Cole Adams. I know Jalen Hill is probably going to be out for the season, but there's a lot of talented dudes in that receiver room. How do you think Ryan Williams is going to fit in this fall? Because, you know, I really think Ryan Williams is special. I think he's different. So I'm excited to see how he kind of gels with not only the quarterbacks, but the other receivers and the entire offense leading up to the fall, not only fall camp, but then when the season starts there on August 31st. By the way, we're just 86 days away from August 31st, guys. Yeah, I would agree with that. I thought John Metchie was kind of that last true leader we've had, him and Smitty in that wide receiver room. Do you think that in some ways we may be better off without Saban? Seems like a lot of the top end assistant coaches did not want to work for him. This is a great point, and this is we'll end on this little point real quick, and this is something that we can do on for future shows as well. Thank you for that, J.A. Dog. Yes, I'll say this. I do think that a lot of assistant coaches were hesitant to work for Coach Saban because, you know, he was 72 years old. They didn't want to go work for a guy for a year. They wanted to have some stability within the program. So I do think it hurt Coach Saban. He even talked about how it hurt. It was hard for him to hire assistant coaches because they needed some assurance on how long he was going to be in Tuscaloosa. So absolutely 100% agree with that. I also think that from an NIL standpoint, this is just from an NIL standpoint, Coach DeBoer is better suited for the NIL era than what Coach Saban is or was. And look, I'm not saying Coach Saban wouldn't have adapted. I'm just saying that I think Coach DeBoer had already began to adapt and adjust his coaching style and his coaching tactics for NIL. And Coach Saban, not that he was falling behind, but he was so against the way the game was going that I think Alabama might be better off from an NIL standpoint with Coach DeBoer than they were with Coach Saban because of just the changes. Man, when you're 72 years old and you've been doing this work for, you know, 45 years, there's only so much that you can change because you kind of are who you are. And Coach Saban was, you could tell he was so sick of all the changes that was going on because he had warned us 10 years ago of what the game of what college football was turning into and college athletics was turning into. So, you know, he was kind of sick of it. And I think that, yes, Antoine, great point. It's more of a seamless transition with Coach DeBoer going into this new era. No, that's the perfect way to put it. Great way to put it, Antoine. Thank you for commenting there. No doubt about it. That, thank you, Jay Dog, for bringing kind of that topic up and how, in ways, Coach DeBoer is better suited for the future of Alabama football than maybe what Nick said. And I know that seems so asinine to say and so, you know, sacrilegious to say, because Coach Saban is the GOAT. There's no denying that. There's no doubt about it. And it's crazy that Greg Byrne was able to get somebody like Coach DeBoer, who is, I mean, the truth is, it has seemed like a completely seamless transition. I mean, I don't know that you could have had a smoother transition moving on from the GOAT than what Alabama fans have experienced so far with Kalen DeBoer. And there's always going to be doubters. There's somebody in my timeline right now on Twitter, you know, talking bad about recruiting when we're sitting inside the top 10 and we haven't even got, you know, our best five players to commit yet. So our top five targets to commit yet. So there's always going to be haters. There's always going to be doubters, but I'm excited about what Coach DeBoer is building. I think he is doing a fantastic job along with the rest of his coaching staff. And I'm excited to see what they continue to build, you know, this offseason. I think, like I mentioned real quick, I'm fixing to head out because I got to finish getting ready for work. The next 6 to 10 weeks is going to be massive in recruiting, especially in the class of 2025. So make sure you keep your head on a swivel when it comes to recruiting in Tuscaloosa. All right, guys, thank you so much for watching. I appreciate you joining me live this morning. I know it's early, but I had a few minutes and I wanted to get out here and talk to you guys this morning before I head into the office. Thanks a lot. Make sure you do like, share, and subscribe today. Also free and available wherever you find your podcast, part of the Believe Network, and we are presented by betonline.ag. Make sure you head over there today to place all your online bets or play on the online casino. Thank you guys so much for watching. We'll be back real soon. But until then, roll tide.